But right now, if you have a child in college, if you have a child about to go to college, you're looking at that tuition bill and you're thinking, oh, man, this is insanity. How am I going to pay for this? Well, like most people, you're going to take out some sort of student loan. And at some point, you know what? You're going to have to pay those loans back. But it's a long process from the time you first fill out your financial aid applications to the time you sit down in your financial aid office for the first time at whatever school you're going to. It is a long, drawn-out process, and it can be very tricky. But somebody who can help us navigate that path is Tanya Nichols. She is with Student Loan Debt Relief Consultants, and she is the author of three books taking us all the way through the financial aid process. So student loan debt with nickels and dimes, and it starts from the first, from budgeting to, you know, hopefully never getting to the part where you might default. Tanya, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
This is exciting because, you know, as a parent of someone in college, and my relatives, friends all have kids in college, and we were all in the same boat trying to figure out the financial aid situation.
Absolutely.
And we hear so much about all these young adults now graduating with so much student loan debt. Is there a number, an estimate on how much student loan debt is out there right now?
Yes, right now it makes up for $1.5 trillion of America's deficit.
That is amazing.
Yes,
$1.5 trillion. Dollars. Now, how did you get it? What's your background before people start going,
I've been working in finance for 20 years. For the last 6 years, or prior to 2015, for the last 6 years before that, I worked for a contracted company for Department of Education where we collected on defaulted student loans.
Okay.
I soon was promoted into management where I ran part of the management team in the garnishment department, which is pretty much the bad side of student loans,
right,
where you hear all the ugly stories. You get to talk to people who are in these horrible situations. And that's when I started really looking at some of the debt and how people got into the debt and what was the lack of information that's causing people to fall into the default area opposed to being able to manage their student loans. And the one thing that I kept hearing from most of the people I talked to is, hey, I wish when I was 18 or 19 I had someone like you to give me this information or talk to me about how to go on student loans. Most teenagers, when they're signing for student loans or going into college, they're very uneducated on the process and how to manage student loans. They just want to go to school. They're not thinking about 10 years in the future.
Well, 4 years seems, you know, they're just thinking, oh, high school took forever. So they're thinking college is going to take forever. And it really doesn't.
It's a blink of an eye.
And then it's like, hey, guess what? Here's your bill.
That's right.
Here's your diploma. Here's your payments.
You're right. And most of them come out very unprepared to pay make those payments. They're thinking, oh, I'm going to graduate. I'm going to get a job.
Sure.
I'm going to get that nice sports car that I've been dreaming of. I'm going to get me an apartment. I'm going to party up and do all the things that I couldn't do when I was in college. And they're not realizing you're going to get hit with this monthly bill that can sometimes take up 35% of your monthly income, depending on how many student loans you have. It's a percentage of your overall balance.
Okay.
And a lot of them don't think about that. And this is where the spiral down starts.
Yeah, and it gets very dangerous. So tell before we get into some of the specifics and steps people can take, what is Student Loan Debt Relief Consultants? What do you guys do?
So we are a consulting firm. What we do is we help people. We first educate them on the student loan process from beginning to end. The beginning, as you know, high school students are graduating, going into college, how to pick majors, what kind of financial aid is available out there, how to fill out your FAFSA, how to make sure the school you're going to is accredited. That is a big thing. You have so many schools that are popping up that end up getting closed down because they don't have the proper accreditation.
There was a big case locally about that just last year.
Absolutely, and that is important. I even have a link, a website inside my books to tell you where to go just to check and make sure that the school that you're trying to go to has the proper accreditation.
Okay.
So in book two, we discuss managing student loans. And this is where I think some of the disconnect comes in. It's not actually getting into college. It's when they're actually there. They do not focus on, I'm going to be graduating in a year or a year and a half, and I have to have this budget, and I need to know what my interest rates are, and how much do I owe, and how much a percentage of my income is this going to take, and what is it going to take for me to actually be able to keep up with these student loans.
Yeah.
Most people do not think about their student loans until they get a bill.
Right, exactly. Somebody's texting in, and if you have a question for Tanya, of course, 312 800-282-981-7200. You can text it in as well. Somebody wanted to know if there's a charge for your consulting fees, which I'm guessing there's
It is. And what I tell people is, and I stress this, all of this is free information.
You could look it up. Sure.
Unfortunately, a lot of people get very confused looking at Department of Education's website, and that's where people like me step in. I suggest to anyone, get the books. The books are very inexpensive. My books are $9.99 each for each book. Well, they're very inexpensive. They are a wealth of information, and everything from A to Z is in the books. After reading the books, if you still have specific situations where you just need help, you need someone to walk you through step by step, absolutely, we do offer consulting. We're a consulting firm.
Sure.
So we offer individualized consulting, and we do help people, and it is a separate charge.
And the website is sldrc.info.
Yes.
So you can go there and get all the information, and that's one place to order the books.
Yes, you can go on there. The books are available on Amazon.
Okay.
So on Amazon, you can download the books, which we are offering a special offer to your listeners today.
Very nice.
Just for the e-books, if they want to go and order the first e-book, the first book of the series, we are lowering that price down to $2.99. The book will only be $2.99 for your listeners for book one. Book two and three are still $9.99. But they can download it or they can get the soft copy.
Great. And the title again is Managing Student Loan Debt with Nickels and Dimes. Student Loan Application is the first book. Budget is the second book, and Past Due.
So that is the most popular book that we have.
Past Due is the most popular?
Yes.
See, I would have thought maybe the first the application one, because let's go back to that, because we'll leave the unsavory part for the
okay,
end.
Okay, no
but
problem.
Let's start at the beginning, because right now you've got seniors in high school who are getting ready, and their parents, this is the time of year when you have to fill out the FAFSA, which is and you have to do it every year.
And what a lot of people don't know is every state has their own deadline for FAFSA. So you need to look up the deadline for your state. It is not the same for every state.
Oh, geez.
And that's why I urge people, please go to the website and sign up for the newsletter. These are the things that we send out in the newsletters. We let you know those deadlines for
coming.
Your state. The federal government changes the regulations all the time, so things change with student loans.
And this is not a form you can do in 10 minutes.
No.
You need some time to get this together.
Absolutely. And so what we do is we try to keep up with the current events. You know, the books are written, but the books, of course, you know, can become outdated after a while. Right now, everything is current in them as of December 2017. But if the federal government decides next month they're going to change one thing, then that wouldn't be in the books.
Yeah.
However, if you are subscribing to our newsletter, that will be information that you would get.
Perfect.
Yes. And on our website, you also can go to the bottom, and you can also follow us on our social media.
Yep.
We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. That's all at the bottom of our website.
Very nice. Tanya Nichols is here. Let's we got to take a quick break. Some people are calling 312-981-7200 if you have a student loan debt question. Tanya's the woman to talk to. But I want to get to, you mentioned the questions we need to ask. So for seniors now in high school and their parents, let's talk a little bit about what they need to be looking for as they begin this student loan journey and start accruing debt. We'll do that and talk to you at 312-981-7200 after this WGN. Tanya Nichols is with Student Loan Debt Relief Consultants. She is the author of three books. Managing Student Loan Debt with Nickels and Dimes are the title. The first book, Student Loan Application, then Budget, and the third book, Past Due. You hope you never have to read Past Due, but Tanya has told us that is the most popular. If you have a question, 312-981-7200. Real quick, before we get to some calls, Tanya, we mentioned we were going to go through the beginning. So, people just starting to do their FAFSA. You said it varies from state to state, so you need to know the deadlines. You, in your book, you have a checklist, because the first time you see one of these forms, it's daunting. I don't care if you have some experience in finance or not. It's still this giant form, and you're like, what do I need
to
have?
And they're asking for all this information, and trust me, the average high school student has no clue how to fill it out. That is one of the problems, too, because the parents a lot of times don't either.
Right,
so
exactly.
They leave it up to the high schooler to go in there and fill out this form. And
that's a mistake.
And then, you know, the high schooler puts in the information as best as they can.
Sure. I think my parents make $1 billion.
Right. And
no,
I urge the parents to sit down with the students. The book one does does have the checklist of everything you'll need when you sit down to make it a little bit easier. And to the federal government's credit, they have made the form a little bit easier now than when I enrolled in college.
And I mentioned this, but this is something you have to do every year.
You
this
do.
Is not this is not just one
year.
And done.
A lot of things. Something else a lot of people don't know is that it used to be January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
fill out the FAFSA. It's not January 1st anymore.
Oh, okay.
It is October 1st of the prior year.
Oh, wow.
That you're going to school. So you have all these students who don't know that, who are waiting to January 1st.
Right.
And then there are a lot of people who started in October.
So
financial aid is based first come, first serve.
Right.
So if you're waiting to January and they started taking applications October 1st, you could miss out on money that was available to you.
Right. So another reason to get the newsletter.
Yes. Yes.
And just let's reiterate this. If you are interested in the first book, you can go to Amazon today. And the first book, Managing Student Loan Debt with Nickels and Dimes, if you're listening to this program, you can get the ebook for $2.99.
And we're going
to
leave it that way till the end of the week.
Till the end of the week. Very
so
good. Thank you very much.
On there.
Well, good, because we'll be podcasting this and people will hear it and go,
yes.
Oh, we missed out. No, you can still do it. All right. Before we get into some more stuff, let's get to some people. Jeff has been waiting. He's on $2.94. Hi, Jeff. Are you all right?
How are you?
Oh, my gosh. Are you choking?
I got a question and a comment. I think one of the reasons that the student loan amount, when you're talking about $1 trillion is so much, is that these colleges are offering degrees and fields of study that these students are never going to be able to make an income in. I mean, you know, when your kid calls you and says, oh, I'm getting a degree in pre-Civil War calligraphy or German poetry, I mean...
Ooh, that's what Cody majored in.
Well, think about it. If they're getting a degree in something that's useless and all they're going to be doing is flipping burgers, why don't these counselors tell these kids, hey, look, these are the kind of degrees you need to make an income when you get out of school instead of some stupid subject like, you know...
We'll get into that because
poetry.
That's something that Tanya has in the book. So
absolutely.
we will address that in a minute, Jeff. You said you had a question?
Oh, that was it.
That was it.
You know,
okay.
He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right.
Well, thanks for the call. So let's get into that. You mentioned in the first book, there's, besides questions that you want to ask when you go and sit down, we'll get to some of those. You also mentioned majors, you know, because like Jeff said, and people want to go into, they want to follow their passion and they feel the money will come and you want to encourage that in your child. But you also want to lay that groundwork.
What I tell people is when you think about your major, if it's not, in my second book, I actually list the top 10 areas that are predicted not only to make good money now, but in the next 20, 30 years.
Can you give us a couple? Not the whole list, because people need to get the book, Managing Student Loan Debt with Nickels and Dimes, Budget, which is the second book.
Yes. So one of the fields is nursing.
Oh,
nursing is one of the top fields that you can go into that you never have to worry about coming out of college and not getting a job.
Right.
Another one is biomedical engineering.
Oh.
It has the potential, the mid-range career salary is $103,000. Average person that's in that field for 5 years is making six figures by the time they pass 5 years.
It's not too bad. It makes paying those debts, those loans back a little easier.
Absolutely. And engineering in general is a field that
that's always been the case, right?
Yes.
The engineering, if you're an engineer, you're doing all right.
A big one is computer science. So we all know we live in this IT world.
Yeah.
So anything in computer science, you want to focus on that. That is like the wave of the future. So going into computer science is a win-win no matter when you do it, because we're not going to...
Right, computers aren't going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere. We're not going backwards. We're never going to go back to using paper. And, you know, so everything is in the computers now, and that is where the money is at. Anything dealing with math...
Wow.
I'm out.
But, see, that's good. And that's the kind of resource. Those are the kind of conversations you want to have with your children.
Yes.
And sometimes those conversations are difficult. Even with adults, even with your spouse or your partner, having money conversations is difficult.
Yeah. And if you're going to go into one of those fields, like what he's saying, unless you already have a job lined up, maybe you have a family friend who works in that business and they've guaranteed you a job and you know that you're coming out with a job. He's absolutely right. Your passion and being realistic and being able to make a living and take care of your family and pay back the student loans that you owe, it's a fine line. And you have to make sure that you're being reasonable and sensible when you're picking a major in college.
312-981-7200. Cindy's in Gurnee. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, how are you?
We are well. What's your question for Tanya?
I have a daughter graduating in May with about $70,000 in debt. She's getting really stressed out about how to just afford life after graduation, and I'm wondering if there's a way to figure out now what her payments will be, a ballpark.
What she can do is absolutely there is. What she should do is contact her lender. Does she have private loans or federal loans? Do you know?
Well, she's got the federal subsidized and unsubsidized.
Okay, and that's a big difference. Between
what is the difference?
Subsidized. So when student loans are unsubsidized, that means that while they're in a deferment period or a forbearance period, when you're not paying them, they accrue interest. That you're responsible for, and a lot of people don't know that you can make an interest only payment to keep that student loan from going higher.
Okay.
The balance from rising. The subsidized one means that when they're in a deferment or forbearance status, the federal government pays the interest for you.
Oh, okay.
Those are the best ones to have, of course.
Yes.
What she can do is contact her lender, find out what her overall balance is. The average student loan payment is 1.29% of the overall balance. However, because of the job markets and most of these students are coming out of college not making enough to cover that amount, depending on what they owe, they have something called the income-driven payment plan, where it is based off of your income, which makes it a lot easier for people to be able to make the monthly payment. She does not have to wait till she graduates. She can contact them now to get an idea of what those payments are.
And is that something you have to request to get that income-driven payment?
You do. Okay. There are forms you have to fill out and turn in, and you have to turn in your income with it.
Okay.
But it is an option to go the income-based way rather than letting them put you on that 1.29% of what your overall balance is.
Does that add any interest or penalties, or is it?
Does it change
lower payments, so it's going to stretch it out?
It's going to take longer to pay off. Of course, you won't pay it off, and student loans are designed to be paid off in 10 years.
Okay.
So yes, it will stretch out the payment. However, it'll make it manageable until you're able to pay a higher payment.
So you can change. You can get to a certain point, and then
you can always pay more.
Yeah, they're going to want more.
You can always pay more.
Nobody's going to turn down more.
If they set you at $300 a month, but you're able to pay $500 a month, no one's going to say, "Hey, we're not taking that extra $200 from you."
All right. Well, I hope that helps, Cindy. But yes, she can start looking and getting all that information right now.
Thank you very much.
You're
no
welcome.
Problem.
Good luck. Tanya, can you hang around through
sure.
the news? Tanya Nichols is here. She is with Student Loan Debt Relief Consultants and the author of 3 books, Managing Student Loan Debt with Nichols and Dimes is the big title. Student Loan Application is number 1, Budget is number 2, and Past Due is number 3. We're going to get to more of your questions and more talk about student loan debt after we do the news, which comes your way after this on WGN. There's, as you mentioned, $1.3 trillion, is that?
$1.5 trillion.
Oh, wow, see? So $1.5 trillion right now in student loan debt. And I was asking you, it seems as if these universities, the tuition keeps going up, 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 up. And we've heard for years that students are graduating. And even if they go into one of those, majors that we talked about earlier, that, yeah, these majors, you're going to do pretty well in 5 years. And so you're guaranteed to be working. They're still not making enough when they come out of school to start paying these loans
back.
That's
true. The first 5 years that someone comes out of college, they need to be very frugal, and which most people coming out of college are not.
Right.
I urge students that for your first year or two, if you can stay at home with mom or dad and pay down some of that student loan debt, by all means do. If that's not an option, look into getting a roommate to help pay half the bills. But the focus should be on paying the student loans down, not getting the sports car, not getting that
buy a coffee
condo.
Pot so you don't have to go pay $6 a cup of coffee.
It's almost like a Warren Buffett said, if you want to be rich, live like you're broke.
Right.
And you do. That's what you have to do when you come out of college. You have to live like you're broke and sacrifice for the first few years in order to enjoy that degree and what you work so hard for after that.
We were talking about with a caller earlier about subsidized and unsubsidized federal loans. When you're applying, How do you get one as opposed to the other? Because as you said, the subsidized, obviously a better deal. You want to get that one.
So you are only entitled to so many subsidized loans. It's not really something that you can go in and say, hey, give me all subsidized loans. But you do want to make sure that you are getting some subsidized loans, whatever you're entitled to, opposed to unsubsidized loans, and know that your unsubsidized loans, you owe the interest on that. So when you graduate from college, stop going to college for whatever reason, and your loans are in a deferment status, you should be making an interest-only payment. Do not let those loans sit there and accrue the interest. And the reason why is because when it goes into a repayment status, they capitalize on the interest. And what that means is they roll that interest into your principal. And your principal becomes higher, and they start interest all over again. Whereas if you're making the interest payment, which is significantly lower than what your monthly payment would be, your regular monthly payment, your loans won't go down, but they won't go up.
Okay.
And that's what you want.
So before we get into people who are getting out of college now and the unfortunate side to all this student loan debt, let's talk to the people who are going to be going in the next few months and sitting down at their university in the financial aid office for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
They're sitting across from a financial aid person, and the ones we've talked, they're all very nice people, but, you know, you got to know what to ask them.
They're very nice. There's not many questions you have to ask them. The key question is making sure that you're maximizing the subsidized loans.
Okay.
You want to make sure that you know what your interest rates are and make sure you're getting the lowest interest rates that's available to you.
Okay.
Federal loans, I always say max out your federal loans before going private. Federal loans generally have better terms than the private loans do. Federal loans are not based off of your credit unless you're in grad school.
Okay. Oh, really?
For undergrad. But for undergrad, they're not credit based. It's the largest loan that a 18-year-old will get on just their signature.
Okay.
You know, with private loans, it's credit based. Another thing that I tell students, this is a big one for me. You get the counselors who say, hey, go home and have your mom or dad sign for this Parent PLUS loan.
Yeah.
Well, that's where you should halt and say, is there any reason I can't sign for this loan myself?
Okay.
Students are able to take out student loans in their name, especially in their freshman year, you know, or sophomore year, unless you have a student loan that's in default and your Title IV funding has been cut off to you, which is what allows you to get financial aid and student loans. There's absolutely no reason that a parent has to sign for a student unless they've maxed out what they can get. Let the student max out what they can get in their name first, because ultimately they'll get better interest rates and better terms. Parent PLUS loans can sometimes have higher interest rates, and sometimes they're due much more quicker than when graduates. You have to start paying them back sooner. So there's no reason for a parent to put themselves in that situation if the student can sign for the loan themselves.
Yeah.
Now, if they've maxed them out, the federal government has given them all they're going to give them, then at that point the parent may want to look into taking out a Parent PLUS loan. But opposed to signing for that first loan and only signing for what they need, the loan's probably going to be much smaller.
Okay. 312-981-7200. Sue has been hanging on. Hi, Sue.
Hi.
What's your question?
My question is, I went back to school when I was at the age of 50. I was homeless. I took out a student loan, had never had a student loan before. I'm currently nearing retirement age, working in a factory, because due to my record, I cannot work for the police, and I'm trying to find some volunteer work to pay off my student loan so that I can retire and try to get a job. Now, I'm working with the homeless shelters. I want to know if there's any type of voluntary work. I'm at like $25,000. Okay. I have already gone through the income-driven plan. I'm from Illinois. I went to a very prominent college, Illinois Benedictine, and I would like to know what I can do to pay off this $25,000 debt. Currently, like I said, I'm working at a factory trying to find work.
Okay.
But I want to know what type of work can I do for volunteer, with social work, with all the stuff that's going on. I don't want to, I had perfect credit. I had my identity stolen 3 times. So I have been working with trying to just clear up my record. I have no family, no kids. I've never been married. So I'm at the point where I want to help and pay back my student loan. What can I do for volunteer work?
Okay, now as far as being able to do volunteer work to pay back the student loans or get some of the student loans cut down, I believe that's what you're asking, correct?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's volunteer work that you can do to eliminate the student loans. They do have something called student loan forgiveness that's based off of when you work in a public service job. And that would be police officers, firemen, EMTs, and fields like that. When you work in a public service job and you make 10 years worth of payments without going into default, you become eligible for student loan forgiveness.
Okay.
I'm not certain about volunteering opposed to actually having a job in that field. That is something that I can look into and get an answer back to you. It's a very interesting question. Did someone tell you that? Did you read that somewhere? Did you hear that somewhere? Because I've never heard of the volunteering.
Where'd you hear about that, Sue?
Well, I had heard that volunteer work, as far as you know, if you work for the police or the firemen, and I had been working for a company that had was a temp service, and I wanted to work in that company, but due to my record, which I don't have felonies or that, it's just my past history, they wouldn't hire me on. So
as far as I know, it's not just volunteering, it's actually being employed in one of those public service areas.
All right, Sue, good luck. Thank you for the call. So somebody like Sue, she's got that $25,000. She's trying. Are there ways? Can you only get a deferment if you're in school? What other ways could she get that a little more manageable?
The way student loans are designed is once you're out of school, you're able to defer your student loans up to 3 years combined, whether you do that in increments or do it all at one time. So it sounds like she's saying she may have maxed that out. I'm not sure. If that's an option, she can go back and see if she can put them in deferment again. But the bottom line is eventually you have to pay them. They only offer so long to deferment, they only offer so long to do the income-based driven, meaning that if she's making more money now, you can always do the income-based driven.
If you're doing the income-based driven and you're, let's say I apply for that and I'm making X amount of money, and then something happens, I lose my job, I have to take a job that I'm still working, but I'm making less money, can I reapply then and say, listen, my whole situation
has
changed?
Because you're making less money, and they'll have you send in the appropriate documents to show that you've had a change in income, so I'm not making as much money. There are people who are paying as low as $5 a month on student loan
because
of their current situation, whether that's being unemployed, making less than $17,000 a year, or they make more than $17,000, but they have a dependent. That they take that into account.
Yeah.
And it is based off of your household bills and what your current situation is. So you can always reapply for a lower payment if your situation changes.
And I always say this with the IRS, you need to stay in contact with them. Don't, if you start falling behind with your student loan or your situation changes, you need to stay.
The last thing you want to do is avoid them. they are a government entity. And your income, no matter where you work, if you're working under your Social Security number in this country, it is getting reported to the Department of Education, because that's what the government entities are designed to do. They're designed to talk to each other. And so the IRS is required to report your income to the Department of Education. So they're going to fine you, and you do not want them to fine you through your Human Resource Department with a garnishment letter. You would much rather talk to them yourselves and work out something yourself, because once a garnishment starts, it is very hard to get out of that situation.
Now, Val has called in. She has some information on our last caller about the volunteering stuff. Hi, Val.
Hi. Well, I think for the confusion between the caller and your guest here is that the loan forgiveness actually is for people who work for a non-for-profit. So you don't have to be a fireman or a policeman. You can work for, you know, a college or university, a school. And if you work for one of those non-for-profits or a government agency, then after 10 years, your loan can be forgiven. I know a number of people who I work with who are trying to get that 10 years in so that they can
get forgiven. But that's working for, whether you're working for the nonprofit or working for a civil service job. It's not, they're actually employed. They're not just volunteering.
Exactly. And so there's plenty of jobs out there, you know, at any of the universities. She said she went to
Lyle.
So she could go to try to get a job at Waubonsie or
Juilliard
Junior College or something like that.
Okay. Very good. Well, Val, thank you for the clarifications. And do military personnel fall under that as well?
They fall under their own.
They have their own deal. Okay.
So when you serve in the military, that is considered public service, but they get a lot more perks than because they're serving their country.
Sure,
totally agree that they should. They have grants and things that are meant just for military, and you got to remember that the military takes care of their student loans
or a
nice portion of it because they're serving their
country. That's what I was trying to figure.
They don't fall under the same forgiveness program because they have separate. You know, they get that GI Bill.
Yeah.
They get something that's geared towards just the military. They have their own programs that are meant just for servicemen and women.
Tanya Nichols is here. She's with Student Loan Debt Relief Consultants, and she is the author of a series of books that if you're going to college, if you're in college, or if you're about to graduate, you need to get. It is Managing Student Loan Debt with Nickels and Dimes. The first book is Student Loan Application, then Budget, then Past Due. You don't want to get that. We'll talk about that. We have some more callers on the line, 312-981-7200. If you have a student loan debt question for Tanya, we'll get to that right after this, WGN. You need to get these books because there's so much. As much time as we're spending, we're like tip of the iceberg.
Yes,
this is like nothing.
It's impossible to get through all this information.
And if you're just starting out, you can get this book on Amazon this week, Managing Student Loan Debt with Nickels and Dimes, Student Loan Application for $2.99, down from $9.95.
$9.99.
The other two books are only $9.99. Much cheaper than if you go into default with your student loans.
Yes.
Much cheaper than the payment you're going to make on your student loan.
Absolutely.
You come in well informed and well armed for what's coming up. Let's get back to the phone. People have a lot of questions, as I knew they would. Ann is in Wheaton. Hi, Ann.
Hi, how are you?
We're great.
How are you?
Great. My daughter is, she's a senior as an undergrad right now, and she was thinking pre-med. Now she's going to, wants to be a nurse practitioner. So she's going to be going to grad school into a master's entry program for second degree. But we're not sure how to even navigate the student loans for graduate school.
Yes, yeah, student loans for graduate school are a little bit different.
Are they really?
And her payments, what she does already have for the Perkins loan and the direct staffer loans, the subsidized ones, do those payments get deferred while she is in graduate school is my other question.
Yes, she can still defer her payments while she's in grad school. That is still considered to be an in-school status, even though she's going from undergrad to graduate. But with the student loans going into graduate school, they're actually called plus loans, just like the parent plus loans. Usually the students take them out themselves, and they are based on credit.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It is a little bit different than the other undergrad school.
Right.
Taking out those loans, you don't need to have any credit, or they don't even look at the credit.
Yeah.
But it pretty much works the same way, except it's like taking out a loan from a private bank.
Wow.
It's based on your credit. You take out what you need. One thing I would encourage her to do is try to get some scholarships. I've had several family members who went to grad school who maxed out scholarships.
Are you talking private scholarships or scholarships from the school? Because they have not offered her anything from the school.
They're never. They most times they don't offer scholarships for grad school. You kind of gotta go searching for them. She can Google what kind of scholarships are available in her field that she wants to go into, as well as going to the counselors in school and saying, hey, what do you guys have that I can apply for?
Okay.
Another thing that I encourage students to do is don't go after the $20,000 or $10,000 scholarship. It's better to apply for 10 $1,000 scholarships because they're easier to get than that one $10,000 scholarship that everyone's trying to get.
Okay.
So I would encourage going after scholarships. Unfortunately, the financial aid is not as much in grad school as it is in undergrad school, and that's because a lot of students come out and they actually work while they're in grad school. For the student that's not working, she is going to have to take out student loans, and they will be based on her credit.
Okay. All right. Well,
good luck, Ann.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate
it. No problem.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
Take care. Yeah, it's daunting. It's daunting whether you're undergrad or going into grad school.
Yeah, once you come out of undergrad, they're pretty much expecting that you're going to get a job.
Okay, sure.
The unfortunate part is, in most cases, the pay is not what it used to be 30 years ago.
And as
you're coming out of college.
Said before, I don't know if we were on or off the air, used to be, back in my day, way back then, if you had a bachelor's degree, you were doing pretty good.
Oh, you were doing pretty good. Very well.
Now,
forget it. A bachelor's degree in a lot of cases is just like having a high school diploma.
Yeah, it's silly. You get so many people now who have to get that master's.
You have to get a master's. That's absolutely correct.
Just more loans. We got a text from Margaret, who just graduated from Southern Illinois University, my alma mater. She says, how do I consolidate my loans, which total about $32,000?
You can consolidate by calling Direct Loans. Direct Loans will and that's with the federal government.
Okay.
You can consolidate through them. But let me give you this piece of advice. Unless you absolutely need to consolidate because you're in trouble with your loans, I don't recommend it.
Okay.
Consolidation, in a lot of cases, raises your overall balance. What they do is they take any principal you have, any interest, and any fees you have, they roll them into a higher principal, and they start interest all over again.
Okay.
She's probably consolidating because doing 4 years of college, you have many student loans that are appearing on your credit bureau.
Right.
They don't affect your credit score.
Oh, they don't.
You can have 30 student loans on your credit bureau, and it's still just like having one. And in most cases, you only make one payment, okay, even if you're looking at 30 different loans. You make one payment that they disperse to all those loans. A lot of times, they'll tell you, oh, consolidate down to one monthly payment.
Yeah.
Well, you're making one monthly payment anyway, so it doesn't matter. Consolidation does nothing but put more money in their pockets.
Okay, so as long as you're paying and you're okay, it's not messing up your credit, you're making one payment anyway. Somebody, since we've been telling people to order the book, somebody says, how do I get the book one, Managing Student Loan with Nichols and Dodge? I don't see it on Amazon.
Okay, so you go to Managing Student Loan Debt with Nichols and Dimes.
Managing Student Loan Debt.
Book one.
Right.
And it should pop up. If you're still having problems with that, you can email us at studentloanhelp.sldrc.info, and we will make sure that you get that book. But it should be available on Amazon. It is available for download and for
sale. Maybe they left out student loan debt or the word debt.
Yeah. So make sure that you're typing in Managing Student Loan Debt with Nichols and Dimes. I don't know if they have to put in book one.
Probably they'll all pop up. And we're going to have links on the podcast, which we will be posting after the show. Unfortunately, we are out of time. As I mentioned, I knew the time was going to go fast because this is such a huge issue. But hopefully we can talk again.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll come back on air.
That would be great. See, it wasn't so bad, was it? You were very nervous. It wasn't so bad. I'm pretty easy to talk to. Tanya Nichols was my guest. She is the author of a series of books, Managing Student Loan Debt with Nichols and Dimes. There are three books. If you order book one for this week on Amazon, it has been dropped to $2.99 instead of $9.99. Big savings. And a lot of great information on all three books. We never got to talk about people who are defaulting. Let's hope nobody is, at least until we talk again.
And if they are, they can go to the website, www.sldrc.info, and you can leave a message for us, and we will answer any questions that you have.
And sign up for the newsletter so you're up to date on what's happening.
Absolutely.
It was a pleasure to meet you, Tanya. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
All right. Let's do this, and then on the other side, we're going to look. Now, I'm sure this was not a major that Tanya would have approved of. Besides radio, Chicago actor Mickey O'Sullivan will join us on the other side. He's one of the stars of Showtime's new series, The Chi. So we'll talk to Mickey on the other side of the news, which comes your way after this on WGN.